you just never know when you have an opportunity to preach. I thank God for people having two kidneys so that there's one they can give up, and that is why I'm standing here. And I say that and kind of as a joke, but I just want you guys to know that aren't coming for the fellowship hour. This is not a guilt trip or anything. You just don't know what you're missing. You really don't. To hear Bobby's testimony of the grace and kindness of God in her life through this is precious. It's faith building, and you've missed it. I just want you to consider that. So today, we are going to be in Matthew. That is actually the book I am preaching through, Matthew chapter 3, which is page number 808. We are back to the gospel after being in Hebrews last week, and this is a little different for me now. I've never preached through a gospel before. I've always been in the epistles where you have the meat of the truth of Christ. You have, here we're looking at his life and what he says, and in the epistles, in the deep truth, we see the effects of what his life and death and resurrection and ascension caused for us, who we are in Christ and what we have. In the gospel, we see him live his life, so our approach is a bit different. We look at what Jesus did and listen to what Jesus says, and then we must ask ourselves, what did it accomplish? What does it mean? Why did he do it? And then ultimately, why is this important to me? And what do I do with this information? Today we're going to look at the baptism of Jesus. It's only 4 verses long, so it's all good because on average I take 15 minutes a verse, so it's about an hour, so we're good. Packers don't start for 59 minutes. 4 verses. 4 verses out of the entirety of Jesus' life on earth. At the end of the Gospel of John the disciple, not John the Baptist, in the last 2 verses of his gospel, John the disciple writes this to us, John 21:24. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that this testimony is true. Now, there are also many things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Today we're going to look at 4 verses, the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3:11-17, this is the word of God. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In our passage for today, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Let's pray together. Father, I come to you now completely inadequate to even speak these words, Lord. I just pray for your anointing, Lord. Father, that you would empower me to preach your message, Lord. And I pray for all your people you have gathered here whom I love, Lord. May these words transform lives today, Lord. And maybe even someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, maybe you would use your words today in the power of your Spirit to convict them and give them faith in Christ. So I pray that you accomplish exactly what you have intended through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do today. We will work our way through this passage, and then we're going to look at two main truths. In this passage, as short as it is, Matthew brings together the reality of why Jesus came with the reality of who Jesus is. This transition passage is from the baby Jesus, the child Jesus, the young man Jesus, to Jesus, the Son of God, beginning his ministry. Why he came and who he truly is. So the intention of God in this passage to know, understand, and believe, the two truths we will explore are, one, the reason for his baptism. The purpose of his baptism. Look back in verse 2. John was preaching this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in verse 11 he says, I baptize you with water for repentance. Let's be clear. Jesus was not in need of repentance. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was not in need of the symbolic cleansing or the purifying by water because Jesus never sinned. So why would Jesus be baptized? Why would he in fact insist upon it? The reason for his coming is why Jesus was baptized. So we'll look at it, the reason for baptism. And second, we're going to look at the testimony of who Jesus really is. The Son of God. The testimony of God the Father about his Son. John the Baptist is the one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way. He says there is one coming who is mightier than I. He says there is one coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to even carry, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John says there is one coming, and God says he is here. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God himself speaks into the world and tells us his Son is here. We will look at that testimony by God himself. So we'll look at the reason for his baptism, and we'll look at the testimony of God. But first, let's go through this, and then we'll come back to our two truths. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. So we just see it's Jesus' intention to be baptized by John. But look at John's reaction, verse 14. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. This is interesting because from this passage, you would gather that John knew that Jesus was the one coming back up in verse 11. Look back up in verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. The truth is, John did not know at this point Jesus was the one. And we know this because of the Gospel of John, the disciple John. Flip over to the Gospel of John 1:30. As I studied through this passage, there were a number of things that people would have discussions about, this, that, or the other thing. This particular one I wanted to bring to you. We're not going to chase down the other ones. John 1:30 through 33. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. And now we're at verse 31. Remember this verse for later. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. Now watch. 33. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist did not know that Jesus was the one that was going to be baptizing with spirit and fire until the dove descended on him. John the Baptist did not know Jesus was the Son of God until after he baptized him. This is true, but don't get hung up on this. The truths we'll be looking at later are what this passage is all about. I bring this up because it would have been wrong for me to let you assume that John knew Jesus was the Christ when he clearly didn't. Flip back to Matthew. Remember this spot. We'll be back here later. So verse 14. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? John did not know Jesus was the Christ at this point, but John did know Jesus, right? Their mothers were cousins. They were kindred people. They were born very close together in the time frame as well. Scripture does not give us much of a connection between John and Jesus, so we don't want to assume too much. But certainly John would have heard of the events surrounding Jesus' birth. And perhaps he experienced it, but at the very least, John would have heard that Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and that the favor of God was upon him. John would have known these things. And from this passage itself, we see that John knew that Jesus was anointed by God for a special purpose greater than his own because of what he said. Verse 14, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? On to verse 15, as Jesus now sets him straight. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now. Let it be so now. Right here, right now, you and me, John. You are part of this plan, John. You need to baptize me that I might be revealed to Israel as the promised one of God. You need to baptize me now. Verse 15. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And so we see the reason for the baptism of Jesus, along with what we just read in the Gospel of John, where he was saying, for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. So the baptism of Jesus was the revealing of Jesus to Israel. And the purpose we'll look at today is back at 15. The purpose was to what? To fulfill all righteousness. And we will come back to this. So John consented, and we continue in verse 16. And now the focus turns to all to Jesus. Matthew 3:16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. The heavens opened and the Spirit of God rested on Jesus. And the next part is the same thought. It is part of the same thought. The resting of the Spirit of God upon Jesus goes together with verse 17. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of God and the voice of God are both God's testimony of who Jesus is, the very Son of God. So then now let's dig into our two truths that God intends for us to know, understand, and believe in this passage. First, the reason for his baptism, and then second, the testimony of God. So first, the reason for the baptism of Jesus. The reason for the baptism of Jesus is tied directly to the reason he came. Back in verse 15, it was to what? To fulfill all righteousness. Further, the reason for the baptism was to reveal Jesus was the one who God promised would come to accomplish what he came for. And in the second truth, we'll see God testifies it to be true. Listen, what I'm trying to say. So we cannot separate the purpose of revealing from the purpose of righteousness. The baptism accomplished both. Flip back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. This first verse tells us the purpose for which Jesus came. The reason he was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit and walked the earth as God-man. The purpose for Jesus to come. John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The reason Jesus came to earth was simply to remove sin. He was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Look back at verse 31, 1 John 1:31. "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." The reason John was crying in the wilderness, the reason John was baptizing with water, the reason John baptized Jesus was to reveal him to Israel. Let's put these together. The reason Jesus came was to take away the sin of the world. The reason Jesus was baptized was to reveal to Israel, this is the promised one who would take away the sins of the world. The question before us then is, how does baptism fulfill all righteousness? Let's start by defining righteousness. Romans study people, who's going to define righteousness for me? Mom? No? Righteousness, simply put, is complete conformity to God's will. To always completely and perfectly conform to the will of God. And this is the point, people. Jesus always, always, always humbled himself and obeyed the will of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at the will of God for Jesus. We're going to look at a couple of passages and then we'll wrap up this point. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 4. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hebrews 10, 4. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came in the world, he said," well, let's hold up here. We don't have to try to figure out who's speaking here, right? We just read Christ, he said. So it is Jesus speaking here. Verse 5. "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Turn back to our scripture reading, Isaiah 53:1. Jesus was baptized that he may be revealed to Israel. And they would have been looking for Israel. The people of Israel would have been looking for the suffering servant. They would have been looking for the one who would be numbered with the transgressors. They would have been looking for the one who the Lord would crush and put to grief. They would have been looking for the righteous one of God. Isaiah 53, we read this earlier. We'll pick up a couple of verses again. Look at 53:3, the man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then we'll see the will of God for his son. The will of God to take away the sin of the world for those of us who believe. Isaiah 53, go down to verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. To fulfill all righteousness is to perfectly conform to the will of God. It was God's will for Jesus to come and to take away the sin of the world. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Lord to put him to grief. For Jesus to be numbered with the transgressors. For John and Jesus, it was fitting now, at this time, it was fitting for Jesus to be baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. It was the will of God for Jesus to be baptized at that time. Not because Jesus needed to repent, and not because Jesus needed to be purified. Jesus was baptized simply because it was God's will that he be revealed to Israel. Jesus was baptized so Israel would recognize this was the man of sorrows long awaited for. This was the suffering servant. This was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Jesus humbly submitted to the will of God to be baptized by John at that moment to fulfill all righteousness, and in so doing revealed to God's people that this was the very Son of God. Jesus' life was destined to make sinners righteous, and this was the appropriate beginning of his public ministry. So what does this mean for us? Well, however much you understood of that, or however little you understood of it, either way, know this. Everything Jesus did was to fulfill all righteousness. And that's important because he then did not ever sin. And it was the sinless Son of God who took our sin upon himself. So know, understand, and believe that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness so you could be saved. Amen. We just looked at the reason for the baptism. Let's look at the testimony of God. Turn back to our passage in Matthew chapter 3. The testimony by God that Jesus is his son. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." There can be no doubt that heavens opened and the Spirit and the voice of God were that, The Spirit and the voice that was heard was that of God. This is God declaring visually and vocally that Jesus is his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. John says he's coming. God says, yes, this is him. This is my son. What I want to explore with you is the importance of this testimony, and then we'll be done. We need to believe God exists. And we need to believe the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We must believe God to the testimony of this truth. Not to do so. For us not to believe God's saving plan, which is the sending of his Son, is to call God a liar. And there is no sacrifice remaining for those living in the sin of unbelief. It's important. So let's start in 1 John, chapter 4, verse 13. And first we're going to see the testimony of man in this regard. This is the disciple John bearing firsthand witness of Jesus the Son and the Savior. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. I can't just let that slide. If you want assurance of salvation, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. By this we know we abide in him and he abides in us because we have the Spirit in us. There's something different now. There's a desire in us to seek God and follow God. You want assurance, is the Holy Spirit in you. Verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Let me read that again. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's the testimony of a man. Now let's move on to chapter 5. We'll start in verse 4. And we'll see the testimony of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes what? That Jesus is the Son of God. We've seen the testimony of John, the man earlier. Watch now as God himself testifies. 1 John 5, 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies. Because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. Because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. There's a lot here, but don't miss this. God himself testifies that Jesus is his Son. If you don't believe the testimony of God, then you have made God out to be a liar. So what does this have to do with our passage? Look back at verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. He who came by the water and the blood. I preached through the book of 1 John, and I took a lot of time looking at that. He who came by the water and the blood, that is the baptism of Jesus beginning his ministry and the cross of Jesus ending his ministry. Listen now, it is critical. It is imperative. It is an eternal at-stake heaven or hell reality. Jesus is the Son of God. We must believe he is the Christ. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe John the Baptist or John the disciple. You don't have to believe man, but you must believe the testimony that God has given you regarding his Son. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When I was growing up, my dad used to tell us all kinds of stories about when he was a kid, and one of the ones I remember him telling me many, many times was about a Jeep ride they took. Well, you see, us Haberlins are not normal, if you don't know that already. But this particular Jeep ride was in the winter, and it was on the Bay of Green Bay. And he was a little boy, and they were riding in an old Willys Jeep, and it didn't have a top, and it didn't have doors. And they were out on the ice in front of Wells Park. Well, apparently the wind had blown some of the ice away, and then it refroze, and there was a thin layer of ice, and it had snowed, so you couldn't tell the difference. And they hit a patch of thin ice, and the Jeep went down. And it went just deep enough till the water came over the floorboards and into the Jeep, and then it hit the bottom. Well, they walked ashore, and they got some with a block and tackle, and they block and tackled it. They didn't have winches back then in the early 1900s, but anyway, they block and tackled it out, and the way Dad tells the story, they got it up on the shore, and Grandpa got under the Jeep and took the oil plug out, and water came out, and when he saw oil, he put it back in, they turned it on, and they drove away. I heard this story many, many times. Most of the time when I heard it, it was because we were riding on the river in the middle of winter in our own Jeep. It's a good time to know about thin ice. It is a great story and a fond memory. A number of years after my dad died, I was reading in the Menominee County Journal. And one of my favorite parts of the Menominee County Journal is the "So Many Years Ago Today" section. 20 years ago today, this happened in Kearney. 30 years ago today, this happened in Stephen. 50 years ago today, this happened in Cedar River. And one time I was reading it, and there it was in black and white. The story I had heard over and over again was there. Someone had witnessed it, and someone recorded it and wrote it down. Now, I always believed my dad, but something about having another witness and reading it made it real to me. Oh, how much more real is the testimony of God regarding his Son. John was there, and he's writing to you so you know that it's true. God writes this to you so you know this is true. The Holy Spirit himself speaks to you so you know that it is true. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the begotten, beloved Son of God who fulfilled all righteousness. Jesus is the one who took your transgressions upon himself to save you. But you must believe this testimony. To deny it is to make God out to be a liar, and that will not end well for you. But the hope is to believe and be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this historical, true story that you have given to us. And Father, may we all hear your voice through your Spirit testify to the reality that Jesus is your Son. Jesus, who your soul delights in, whom you are well pleased in, because he has done everything. He has humbled himself to obey you completely
and he is righteous. But he was nailed to the cross, and that was for our sin, for our transgressions that he was nailed there. He took our sin upon himself. Help us, Father, to believe that truth. Empower us, give us the faith to rest in the reality of what your Son did for us. May this be true. May you be true and everyone else a liar. In Jesus' name.